I don't think she had to stop. I think she was just getting warmed up. Let's stick that there. Man, what's up, guys? So, I could have brought this with me earlier. My name is Micah. I have the privilege of serving on the worship team here at DC Church. Our pastor, Keith, is off this week. He's with some friends at another church, and he's blessing them, so you get me. And we get all these kids. Man. Kylan right here in the front row with his fruit snacks. Man. I love it. I love it. So we're going to keep it quick. We're going to keep it simple, but this is not going to be easy. So please do not, as adults, in any way in your brain, be tempted to turn off and say, oh, this is a kid-friendly message. I got this. I'm good. If we all got this and we were good, I wouldn't be sharing the message. That needed more amens than it got. Because if I was really living this day in and day out in a way that it just so radiated out of me that the world couldn't help but notice, then we wouldn't need to be reminded of the basics. We would be digging into the deeper things. But what tends to happen is there's this temptation to dig into the deeper and we lose sight of the simplistic nature of the gospel. And then when we try and bring the gospel to someone, it's so convoluted that we've lost the beautiful simplicity of it. That Jesus loves you, he died for you, he's your Savior, he's your Lord. Do you want to believe that today? Amen. And the way that the world sees that is how it's reflected in us and through us. So today's lesson is called, The World Needs You. The world needs you. We're going to start with this psalm that David wrote, and you will recognize it. I hope you do. Psalm 139, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Do we believe that the things that God has made are wonderful? Did God make you? Does that mean you are wonderful? Some of you didn't say that. Some are tempted to say, yeah, everything else is wonderful, but not me. You don't realize how messed up I am. You want to bet? I got a chance to spend some time. I'm going to call out Clark because he's sitting in the front row here. You don't know somebody until you get to hear the testimony of radical grace at work in their life. We've had a privilege, my wife and I, of sharing our testimony on a Faith Under Fire video a couple years ago. You think you're the only one going through stuff, and that's a lie of the enemy. You think you're the only one that's done stuff so bad that there's no way that God could love you after what you did. Gosh, get over it and get God out of that box. So we're going to just go after this, and there are prizes if you pay attention. I mean it. The bag's got stuff in it. Primarily for 6 and 7 year olds that might have trouble paying attention, but some of you adults, I know it's hard to sit still. So, but that's not until the third point. So you got to hang with me for 2 points, and then on the third point, there will be an opportunity for prizes. But first point is this: you guys should have a worship guide, and there are blanks to fill in. How many of y'all are proud of me for that? For those who don't know, normally when I get to guest speak, it's a blank page of notes, and it drives some people crazy. So I worked really hard. I worked really hard, guys. So, you were made on purpose for a purpose. Some of you might have been a surprise to your parents, but you were not a surprise to God. I have one of those. And we don't know which one it is. Because when we had 3 kids and we were having a conversation about, guys, as you're growing up, you're going to learn this. Your first child is beautiful and romantic and just this incredible gift. Children after that are science projects where you're counting calendars to figure out how much space you want to have of uninterrupted sleep before you do it all again. So we were having that conversation. If we already had three, the chaos was there. What's one more? But we wanted it to be in the hands of the Lord, and we just kind of left it up to him in case he got pregnant. And I said, great. Number four is going to be easy. Because with Nehemiah, we went to the hospital, and we were there for like 7 hours before he was born, and it was long. With Avela, we were there for less time. With Mira, we got to the hospital. Casey was having contractions as I was pushing her through the parking lot at night because the main entrance was locked. So we found a wheelchair. We put her in it. I'm running through, going over speed bumps, slowing down for contractions to get to the emergency room exit. 17 minutes after we got to the hospital, Mira was born. 17 minutes. I was like, we can beat that. Number four, we are going to get this down to nothing. And I said out loud, this is going to be easy. And God said, think so? And then we found out we were having twins. One of them is a surprise. But I'll tell you, the one who came out last, now I believe that they are both, they're the same age. That's how we get over that argument. Life begins at conception. They were conceived at the exact same time. But the one who came out last, Tovia's name means goodness of God. So, God had a purpose that needed to be fulfilled by those two, and one wasn't going to get it done. Here's what, if you take away nothing from this, this is what I want you to hear. God is big enough that he can reflect himself uniquely in every person throughout history. And if you don't reveal God's glory through who you made you to be, the world is going to miss out on seeing God the way that he made you. Today is impact step three. We've had a group that's going through step one and step two. Step three today is where you get to join teams. You hear us talk about this. The reason we do impact the way that we do it is because we need you to reflect God to our body by serving those around you. And we all need to do that. That's why we run it consistently. It's why we push for it constantly. It's why we talk about it regularly. Because if you are not reflecting God to the body through service, then we are missing out on the glory of God being revealed in a way that only you can reveal it. Now, if that's not a good pitch to join a team, I don't know what is. And maybe you're not sure. Maybe you've thought about joining a team. You can come to Impact Step 3 today. Maybe you did Impact a while ago, and you're like, man, you know what? I think I just need to get out of a rut. I've just been kind of glorifying God the same way over and over, and it's starting to feel more like a routine than an act of service and worship. Come today. They've got a good-looking guy who's speaking, too. I know better. My wife says I'm handsome, and that's all that I need. Move on. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You don't get to earn what God has done for you. But the reason that he did it is because we are God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We all have a purpose. I've got this bag here. I've got some stuff in it. Time for some audience participation. Could anyone tell me what these kind of gloves would be used for? Y'all, yeah, see, half of you were like, I've never seen those before, being born in the South. These are my ski mittens. They actually have finger liners inside, so they're more than mittens. Okay, so we've got those. Cool. This one's a little bit tricky. You got one of these? Do you know how to use it? Come show me. Here. If you get brave, stand up and show me. All right, cool. Ooh, what might these be used for? What do we say? What do you say, Chip? Gloves. Yes, gloves for, what do you think they might be for? Winter. What do you think?
Golf.
Yeah, if you felt them, you'd know they're not for golf. These actually came in a kit of a build-your-own metal shelf, and these were sent to protect your fingers from all the sharp edges. Ooh, how about these? Work gloves. What do you do with these? Ooh. Okay, so Miss Brenda in the front said work the garden. Now I've got some thinner ones that are good for picking at flowers and some bulky ones. These are hard to do little detail work, right? I mean, yeah, we've got, ooh. How about these? They kind of look like oven mitts. They're leather. Welding gloves. No, they're not quite thick enough to be welding gloves. Case, what are these for? These are for rabbitry. This is to protect your forearms when you're holding the rabbit so they don't scratch your arms. All these gloves, different purposes, some of them look like they could be used for different things, right? But when you get up and feel it and touch it, you realize you didn't want to hang on to the glove. That's fine. When you get up there and you touch it, you realize that the material matters. I got some little latex gloves. They're not going to protect you from much, but they can keep germs out of your mouth when the dentist is using them. So all these different gloves, different purposes, different styles, we look at it, we say, oh, it could be used for this, could be used for that, but each was designed with a particular purpose. What do all of these gloves need to be useful? They all need a hand. They all need something inside them, giving them direction so they can be used for their purpose. I said this was simple, but it's not easy. God saved us by grace. He made us on purpose. He made us because he had something that he needed us to do. And sometimes we are tempted to look at a pile of gloves and say, well, I wish I was a baseball glove. These dirty work gloves are just, I'm just like, meh. You be who God made you to be. And I want to be very careful. I want to add this disclaimer. This is not allowed to be interpreted as some way that a sin struggle is who you are and you get to keep it because it's how God made you to be. For by grace you have been saved. Russ, what word is that? Sozo. He looked at his wife, was I right? Saved, healed, delivered, redeemed, walking in the power of the risen Savior because the living God has put his Holy Spirit in you. There's no place for you to accommodate a sin habit or a sinful thought pattern and say, this is how God made me. That's right. So we got to move on past that and say that God, when he redeemed you and called you by name and said, child, you're mine, I have a path and a plan for you. Jeremiah talks about God sending him down to watch the potter work on something, and the potter is making something, and it's not looking right, so he smushes it down to a lump, and he makes it again. God can reduce you and those pride points and those sin points to a pile of ashes and rebuild something beautiful out of it. One of my favorite characters in the Bible is Nebuchadnezzar, and he appears in Daniel chapter 4, and he wrote this chapter of the Bible. It's written by his own hand. The pagan king that God had allowed to capture and enslave the nation of Israel is the one who wrote a chapter in the Bible and talked about how amazing he was. And he said, man, I am the king of the known world, and he was right. But he said that he did it all himself, and God said, you are wrong. And God warned him in dreams, and Daniel wished that this captive king that he served would learn the lesson, but he didn't. So God drove him out into the field for a season, and he became like a wild animal with long hair like feathers and long nails like talons, and he was out there just living with what? Did you have a question? I don't mind questions. Oh, Jeremiah. Jeremiah is an Old Testament prophet. That's a good question. Jeremiah is an Old Testament prophet. Daniel's another Old Testament prophet. And Nehemiah is another prophet. We got all kinds of great prophets. But Daniel, with Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar is driven out in the field and he goes mad. And then God gives him his reason back. And when he gets his reason back, he comes back, and the leaders that had watched him go crazy saw him come back, and they said, man, here is your kingdom. And not only is this your kingdom again, but it's bigger and better and grander than it ever was. And Nebuchadnezzar is standing up there and saying, look at how much more glory and splendor I have. And you say, shoot. The man missed the point, and it's going to happen again. But then he stops, and he says, I praise and I honor and I extol the King of Heaven. Because everything that he does is good and right. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. And the letter ends. The closing point of the most powerful man in the world at that time was, God, if I walk in pride, will put me down. So I will honor him. That was just a side note. There's really not any notes on these pieces of paper, but that's just where we needed to go. Because God is going to use you for a purpose. But here's the thing. Next set of blanks. You won't do anything new, but you can do it in a new way. In one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. This was written thousands of years B.C. I mean, this isn't even like a new thing. Like, oh, we just ran out of ideas. The author of Ecclesiastes, a lot of times attributed to Solomon and his wisdom, is basically saying, life is short. It's meaningless. There's nothing new. Love God, do what he says. So he's putting this idea out there that there's nothing new. He said, well, we see new things all the time. And there's this struggle sometimes where we need to figure out how to present God and the gospel in a new way. And it gets ugly quick when you try to make the gospel new, when you try to, it's hard. Sometimes, like, we go into Christmas, and like, we've done the Christmas story so many times, like, this year Christmas we will tell from the perspective of the donkey and the cows and the sheep, and they're like, oh man, someone did that already. This year we will tell from the perspective of the swaddling cloth that got to wrap itself around Jesus. We're just like trying so hard to make it new and fresh because we're convinced that the world has seen it and heard it so many times that we don't need to hear it again. Where in reality, what excites you about the Christmas story is what the world needs. What does not excite me about the Christmas story is that the decorations were out at Walmart yesterday. I love Christmas in July, don't get me wrong, but I'm not ready to buy it. I just want to celebrate it, and then I'll buy it after Halloween is okay. November 1st. So, in 1974, there was a movie that was made based on a 1943 French novel called The Little Prince. And The Little Prince is the story of this pilot that crashes on a planet and he meets this child who's a little prince who has been traveling around the universe meeting different people in different places and learning these different life lessons that the little prince then teaches to the pilot before the prince dies and disappears and the pilot gets his ship back. And it's this really kind of commentary on humanity and society. But it's got a scene that we're going to watch in it. This is 1974, a man called Bob Fosse, who is a choreographer and a musical artist and dancer. And he plays this character called the Snake. And you see him, you meet him as a snake, and then he turns into a man. And he sings this song called Snake in the Grass. And I wanted to share a little clip with you in his snake moves. See if we can play this. Pretty cool. Pretty catchy, huh? Or how many of you are thinking, this is just a little bit creepy. Why is he showing this to us? So in 1974, that movie came out, and that scene was in it. And somebody watched that and said to themselves, this is going to revolutionize pop music in a way that the world has never seen before. And in 1982, there was this little album. Some of you might have heard of it. Some of you kids are like, 1982, you're ancient. There was this little album that came out called Thriller by an artist called Michael Jackson. It is still the highest selling album of all time. And I just want you to catch for a minute, 8 years after The Little Prince, I want you to just watch the scene again, but a little bit differently this time. Go ahead. Same snake, same tempo. The movie wasn't sped up. The music wasn't slowed down. Michael Jackson was heavily influenced by Bob Fosse, and he saw those moves from the snake in the grass and went on to become the greatest pop star of a generation, if not of all time, for what he did on the stage. It was not new. And you can find interviews where he gives a ton of credit to Bob Fosse. But, I mean, some of those, like, verbatim. And we just watched the same moves and said, creepy. And then 8 years later, someone was like, oh my God. It's not new. There's nothing new. But how you see it, how you hear it, how you live it, how it can be applied, that's new. That's the capacity that God's given you. 2 Corinthians 3:18, for all of us that have had the veil removed. So Paul is talking about in this letter to the Corinthians, when Moses went up and met God on the mountain, he came back down and his face was glowing. And the people were intimidated by it, so they put a sheet over his face until the glory faded. And the glory was fading. But Paul is saying now with the new covenant, with the new veil, there is glory that is being revealed, and that as we reflect that glory, as we're in the presence of God, the Lord who is Spirit makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. As we let that hand of the Spirit use us the way we're created to be used, as we let the glory of God be reflected in us and we live it out in a way that is unique to who we are and we do it in a way that is genuine to how God made us to be, then the world starts to see the Michael Jackson dance instead of the Little Prince creepy show. And the reality is, we all have the same ministry. We all have the same purpose. I told you there were prizes. Kylan, you want to come help me? I'll give you a Matchbox car. You don't get all five, but you get one. Come up on stage. Who else wants one? Where are some little kids? Some younger kids. I've got 20. So give me some younger kids. If you're in youth group, hold off. Come on up. Come on. Quick. Come on up. We got to open these up. What? What's up, Micah? Here, can you open that box for me? Can you try to? I've got enough to hopefully give you guys all one of them. This is the best part about Family Sunday. Okay, good. All right. So quick, let's hold up your car so we can see them. Hold them up in a line so we can see. All right, we've got a taco truck. We've got a streetcar, a lizard car, a scorpion car, a sweet race car, an exposed engine car. Man, we've got a turtle car. We've got another race car. We got a triceratops car down the end. Everyone hold them up so everyone can see, and then you can go find your parents. Go ahead and bring your car back to your parents. All right, thank you so much for helping. All right, go ahead. So we've got all these different kinds of cars, and it's hard for you to see because they're tiny, but we've got all these little cars, and they all do different things. This one's a police car. This is one that drives behind you and makes you nervous even though you're doing the speed limit. I've got a reptile truck here. We've got just a cool Japanese. So all these cars have different purposes, but what do they all have? They all got wheels. They all got engines. They use some kind of fuel. But at its core, what is a car designed to do? Designed to get you from one place to another. It's designed to move you towards something. So the last blanks are this. The vehicle looks different, but the ministry is the same. Who God has made you to be, the world needs to know it, because you need to fulfill your part of this ministry that's been given to us all. And in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul writes, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of what? Reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. If you want to know what your ministry is to share the message of reconciliation. Now, how that looks, whether you're handing out bulletins at the back door or pouring into kids in the children's ministry or in the youth program or leading a small group or cleaning the building or leading worship on stage or praying constantly in the prayer room and over this room, whatever it is, the ministry is all the same to bring us closer to Christ, to bring us closer to the heart of the Father, to bring us to a life that is more filled with the Holy Spirit. We are all moving towards that. The vehicle has to bring us that way. If you think that your vehicle is to throw on some big rims and some bouncy hydraulics and roll around and make people think how cool you are, there's a bunch of Pharisees that would love to hang out with you. What are you doing with the vehicle that God's given you? What are you doing with the life that he has made? And how are you bringing that ministry to the world? Because here's what the ministry of reconciliation means. Who can I pick on? Oh, perfect. I've got Danielle on one side and Brandon on the other. They're not talking to each other. Danielle's not talking to Brandon because he's mean. And she's afraid that if she goes and tries to talk to him, he is going to freak out. He's going to get angry. He's going to just tell her how bad she is and all the things that she's doing wrong and the poor life choices that she's making. And she just doesn't need that kind of negativity in her life. Brandon is sitting over here saying, she thinks what? No, I love her. That's my sister. I just haven't been able to get a hold of her, and I've been trying to reach out, but she's just got this block and won't let me through. Well, now that I have this, I now have a ministry of reconciliation where I get to go joyfully. Danielle, no, I talked to Brandon. He's not mad. He's been trying to reach you, but there's been this block. He actually loves you, and he's proud of you as his sister, and he wants you to come spend time with him so that he can rebuild whatever feels like is broken in the relationship, because he's there, and he's going to offer everything that he has for you. You just, come on. Come on. No, I'm serious. Get up. Let's go. No, you're fine. But we need to be that passionate for a world that thinks that God's an old man with a gray beard and a stick that's going to whack them if they get close. And God's saying, do you want to know how much I love you? This much. And then he died on a cross. That's the good news. That's why this is simple. It's not easy. And that's why we need each other. That's why we need to be in community. It's why we need to serve together, to pour into each other, so that I can help you be the best you that you are. And you can help me be the best me that I am. And as we do that for each other, we start to realize that it's not the person on stage's job to feed everybody so you can go home full and then slowly starve for the rest of the week and come back next Sunday hoping to get full again. I've tried those kind of fasts, and they're terrible. We need to eat consistently. We need to be in the Word. We need to be in prayer, but we need to be in community to encourage one another on. Every time we walk through that door on a Sunday morning, our number one mentality should be, who can I encourage today in the power of Christ? Who can I build up in their most holy faith? Can we be on board with this? Can we do this? Perfect. I'm going to let the people who said yes vocally speak for everybody who didn't. And we're going to practice right now. Let's all go ahead and stand. Now, some of you who are here regularly are wondering if the worship team missed the cue to come back up. Was anybody wondering that? Good. Because some of y'all were wondering how much longer is he going to go if the worship team hasn't come up yet. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do, and if you're genuinely, truly uncomfortable with it, then no one's going to force you to do anything. You are made on purpose with a purpose. You carry the Spirit of the living God within you. If you have not yet said out loud, I believe that Jesus Christ has saved me and he is Lord of my life, this is a great opportunity to do it. That's the power of salvation right there. That's the power of salvation. You don't even have to say it out, like repeat after me or anything like that. But here is the thing. With every head raised and every eye open, if you acknowledge God before men, Jesus is gonna acknowledge you before the Father. So if you acknowledge Jesus, I will very proudly stand here and tell you, I came to a moment late in life. I grew up in church. And I knew about God and I knew about Jesus. And I genuinely did believe in them. But there came a moment where in such brokenness, I needed to say out loud, Jesus, I believe that you have saved me. And you are my Lord. And I'm going to live reflective of that. Has anyone not said that and want to say it? Did anyone just say it quietly under their breath now? I saw a hand. I love it. I can't see in the light. This is great. I don't need to see who you are. All you have to do is say this. Jesus, I believe you saved me. And I believe you're my Lord. Make that real in my heart. All right, there we go. We're done. How are you feeling? Let's go. It is not harder than that. Now the hard part begins. Now we walk it out. But that is it. When you said that, Holy Spirit, I pray you come on anyone that had their hand open, that you would just meet them right where they're at, that you would begin that redemptive work that was just completed in Christ in them. Begin the work of sanctification to help them walk out to where they want to go, where you want them to be. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do, just in little groups of three or four. So you're just going to, if you're in an aisle, turn around, and the people in the aisle behind you are your people. And then in aisle three, you're going to turn around, and the people behind you are your people. I'm going to put up some prayer points on the screen. If you're not comfortable praying for each other, I'm just going to give you a couple things that you can pray. I'm going to ask us to do this. I'm going to ask you to reflect God's glory to the people around you. By opening your prayer by just saying, Holy Spirit, come. Right there, you don't have to say anything else. When Holy Spirit shows up, good things happen. Just pray a blessing. I bless this person in Jesus' name. I pray that you would heal their spirit, soul, mind, and body in Jesus' name. I pray that you would reveal their purpose in greater measure in Jesus' name. And if you want to make your own words, that's okay, but just keep it short, sweet. I would love for everybody to pray for everyone. Like I said, if you're not comfortable, it's okay. But just go ahead and just the front row, turn around, meet the middle row, make a couple friends, middle rows, turn around. It's going to be chaotic. It's going to be noisy. This is good. This is fellowship of the saints. Go ahead and pray for each other. keep praying if you're praying, but God, I just pray that as your spirit is moving in this room, I pray for this up-and-coming generation. I pray for these young people who are in this room, who are an active part of this church, who are actively in these prayer times. God, bless them. God, bless them like that you blessed Samuel to know your voice at an early age. God, bless them to be able to hear what you are speaking into them at a young age so that they would know that this faith is their own, that they would know that your love for them is not a reflection of what any person can offer, but it is the power of the risen Savior pouring into them. God, I pray for the parents around this room who are praying and being prayed for. God, anoint their hands to be your hands. Anoint their lips to be your lips, that what they say and what they do on your behalf in their children's lives would reflect well on your heart, and that you would give them the strength to supernaturally live from the power of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray for parents who have adult children and grandchildren who are the patriarchs and matriarchs in this body, who are leading by example a life of commitment over the long haul, that you would strengthen their hands and strengthen their knees as they contend for lives that are lost within their family, within their generations. God, I pray for this body that there would be unity, not uniformity. God, we want to move the same direction. We want to be pulling the same way. But much in the same way that you don't love us all the same, because it's disingenuous to love everyone the same, we all respond differently, but you love us equally, unconditionally, relentlessly. God, as we rest in that love, let our actions reflect it. Let the same sacrifice that you made for us on the cross be the sacrifice that we are willing to make of our time and our energies in service to one another. Holy Spirit, to seal what each of us need in this moment, to draw us closer to your heart so that as we continue to walk with you through this week, when we come back next week, much like Tabitha shared the testimony of out of the mouth of a child becoming encouragement by the power of the Holy Spirit, let us be prepared to be that voice of encouragement with everyone we meet. If they know you, let us celebrate with them. If they don't, God, let that ministry of reconciliation just come out in joyful exuberance that God is not mad at you. He does not hate you. He's not going to beat you up. He's going to pull you in and run towards you and begin a good work in you that he will complete when Jesus returns. But until then, let us walk in unity and grace and fellowship, building each other up through your love and in your joy. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Impact step 3 will be in the big Sunday school room. If you